This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, hello and welcome to Enjoying Everyday Life. Joyce is going to be with us in just a moment to share a great message from God's Word. But first, I want to tell you about a special week of programs coming your way soon. I don't think you're going to want to miss it. Beginning May 17th, Joyce will be teaching a new week-long series on the Beatitudes. Now, the Beatitudes are found in the Bible in Matthew chapter 5. And this is a foundational sermon from Jesus. And it's so important to our faith. Joyce will help unpack these godly character traits and show us how they can help us experience more joy and fulfillment in our life. So we hope that you'll join us for that. Now, let's join Joyce studying Galatians and the importance of walking in love.
So love is seen in how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we talk about people, how we think about people, and what we do or don't do for people. In his letter to the Galatians, Paul continually brings people back to the importance of walking in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Bible says, love is patient, kind, good, humble, meek, never envious, always believes the best of every person. And so I like to think of love like a diamond, you know, a diamond has different facets. In other words, you turn it different ways and you see different, you even see different colors. You know, you see a little blue and you see a little of this, a little something else. And I think love is that way. There's many different ways that it expresses itself. So love is patient with the mistakes of others. Love is long suffering. Long. Let's don't miss that word. Suffering. You get that? That means if you're gonna be in relationship with anybody, because there's no perfect people out there for you to be in relationship with, I'm sorry, but whoever you're in relationship with, if you're around them long enough, you're gonna start to see the stuff that you don't see in the beginning. That's why a lot of you get really surprised when you get married. Dave and I had 5 dates and he asked me to marry him, and I did. And I just tell him, if you wouldn't have tied the knot quick, you would have never taken me, because you would have found out what you were getting and it would have been more than you could handle. But he likes a challenge. He prayed that God would give him a wife, and he said, make it somebody that needs help. So he got his prayers answered. You got to be careful what you pray. If I get a little snippy with him now, he'll say, there's that old fire. That's what I married you for. Love always requires some kind of sacrifice. Love is costly. That's why it's hard for us to do. It's going to cost us some time, some effort, some money, but there's always some kind of sacrifice involved in really, truly loving people. Come on. But I tell you, if anybody would be able to walk out of here today, myself included, and spend the rest of your life majoring in loving other people, you would have such a great life that you couldn't even possibly believe it. We spend so much time trying to make ourselves happy. And if we would spend more time trying to make other people happy, then we'd be sowing good seed and God could bring a harvest back in our life of us being happy. God can do more for you in 2 seconds than you can do for yourself in a whole lifetime. And he's asking us to give ourselves away like Christ did, to sow our lives as a seed. Ask God every day, what can I do for you today? Stop giving him a list every morning of everything that you need that day just to be saved. Come on. Some of you came to this conference. Well, God, if I don't get a breakthrough, I just don't know that I can go on. Well, yeah, you can. You can, and I'm equipping you. I'm giving you good equipment to go out of here with. All you got to do is just stop trying to take care of yourself and go take care of somebody else, and God will take care of you. You know, it frustrates me sometimes when I've got a problem in my own life that I cannot solve, and yet God will send me to one of these things, and I can help thousands of people with their problems, and yet I can't do anything about my own little puny problem. But see, that's exactly what God wants us doing. Instead of trying to take care of yourself, He wants you to turn yourself over to Him. You spend your time taking care of other people, helping them, being a blessing to them, praying for them, helping meet their needs. And I'll tell you, one way or the other, I don't care how what He has to do, God will get to you what you want and what you need at just the right time, and nobody can stop Him. Amen. Avoid telling other people's secrets and revealing their sins. Few verses of scripture here. Proverbs 11:13. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Treat other people the way you want to be treated. When you make mistakes, do you want everybody going around telling everybody else, or would you like them just to keep it to themselves? I didn't get an answer. I love this one, Proverbs 18:6. A fool's lips walks into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating. How do you like that? In other words, if we tell other people's secrets, it usually causes trouble for us eventually. Because we always start with, "Nah, I don't want you to tell anybody I told you this." Can I tell you something? That's the dumbest thing we ever do, because they are going to tell somebody. Just like whoever told you said, "Don't tell anybody I told you this." And now you're telling somebody and saying, "Don't tell anybody I told you this." They're going to go tell somebody and say, "Don't tell anybody I told you this." Proverbs 25:9, argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secrets. Matthew 18:15. A lot in that chapter is talking about forgiving people. And it says, if you have anything against your brother, or there's anything between you and your brother, then go to him privately. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he listens to you, you've gained back your brother. And then it says, if he won't listen, take two or three others. Still, keep it just as few as possible. But the whole point is trying to restore him, trying to bring him back to a place where he realizes that what he's done is wrong. Couple of more examples. 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't deal with people's wrongdoing, but it does mean that we don't have to go around and gossip and tell everybody. How many of you need to come up a little bit higher and not telling other people's secrets? Well, we got some honest folks here this afternoon. Genesis 9:18-27. A very good example. The sons of Noah who went forth from the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ham was the father of Canaan. These three were the sons of Noah. And from these, the people of the whole earth were dispersed. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. Now, this was after the flood, and after that was over, and now they're starting life again. And he drank the wine and become drunk. And he lay uncovered, which means naked, in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and went and told his two brothers outside. Man, you ought to see Dad in here. I mean, he looks ridiculous. He's drunk and has no clothes on. Well, he wasn't too smart. Then Shem and Japheth, who apparently were wiser, took a garment, laid it on their shoulders, and walked backward into the tent and covered their father's nakedness so they couldn't see it. They honored him, and the other one did not. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. When Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done, he said, "Cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be to his brothers." And he said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and let Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth and let him dwell in the tents of Shem, but let Canaan be his servant." So, I mean, Old Testament, yes, but the boy that told the father's mistake ended up living under a curse, and the two boys that covered the father's mistake ended up being blessed. And whether it's Old Testament or New, I'm pretty sure the same thing happens in our lives. If you want to really be blessed in your life, and if I want to be blessed, then this is something that's very important to do. How many of you know how hard it is to find somebody today that actually will keep your secrets? I mean, there's not very many people that can say they have one or two friends that they completely, totally trust. And if you've got one, it is a precious gift, and you need to appreciate it. Remember now, we reap what we sow. So if you want friends like that, then you have to be a friend like that. Amen? All right. Now, when we hear about other people's problems, we really want to avoid pride. Because it's very easy to think, well, I would never do that. When we hear someone's faults or mistakes, it's hard not to think of how terrible their behavior is and be firmly convinced that we would never do what they have done. Do you ever surprise yourself and do something you didn't think you'd ever do? Damn, don't give me those. I don't want this half. Come on, if I say, "Do you want a miracle?" you can get it up there. We have to avoid feelings of superiority. Amen? We see somebody do something really stupid, don't ever say, "I would never do that." You say, "God, I pray that you would give me grace and mercy and that I would not do that. And I pray that you would use me to help restore them." All right. I'm glad we got somebody that's agreeing. Avoid the pride of having a self-righteous attitude. I think that God dislikes a self-righteous attitude probably more than anything else. We have been made right with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. He that knew no sin became sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But the Apostle Paul said, one in Philippians 3, a beautiful chapter, he said, "Look, if anybody has a right to be proud, it's me. I'm educated in the law. I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees," on and on and on, and all these things. He said, "But it's all a pile of dung compared to the priceless privilege of knowing him and the power of his resurrection." Paul said, "I don't want to find any worth and value in anything that I've ever done or know or how spiritual I was. I only want my worth and value to be in who I am in Christ." And I can tell you, not one of us are worth anything except who we are in Jesus Christ.
You've been watching Joyce teach from Galatians, and today we're offering her comprehensive Bible study on the entire book, Galatians, a biblical study, offers an in-depth look at the letter from Paul to the church at Galatia, while featuring inspiring questions and space for personal reflection. Filled with Joyce's practical insights, this study tool also reveals how helpful the book of Galatians can be in our personal walk with God. So, whether it's for yourself or with a group, discover how to enjoy your walk with Christ and rely on Him in all things. Galatians, a biblical study, is available to order for your gift to the ministry of any amount. Contact us now. Visit online at joycemeyer.org or call 1-800-727-9673.
You're hardworking, an achiever, but drive and determination aren't fuel enough. The fast pace can stress you out and lead to burnout, unless you make the necessary changes now. It's time to take back your life. Joyce Meyer wants to teach you how, with her newest book, How to Age Without Getting Old. In these pages, you'll learn how to let God lead you today so you can be even more effective in the future.
I share principles in this book that I believe can help you as you get older to still feel good. If you make an investment now, you'll reap a reward later on. I'm asking you to get this book because I believe it's going to really help you.
How to Age Without Getting Old, new from Joyce Meyer. Order your copy today.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon. Joyce, I just have to be honest today. This candid conversation is really just for me.
Oh, really?
So I want to talk to you about this. There are things in all of our lives that just really annoy us. Certain things that just really grate on us. But there are better ways to handle them than I often do. So, you know, when I learn a few things, I find out that I can handle this. And then I slide back into that pit of being so annoyed again. So I would love to hear, what are some of the things that really annoy you? What are some of the annoyances that you deal with? And how do you respond in a more positive way?
Oh, Ginger, there's nothing that annoys me. I've overcome all.
And see, I'm instantly annoyed now.
Right. See, now you're annoyed that I'm not annoyed. Okay, well, we'll just have some fun with this. Probably the thing that annoys me the most is people who don't do what they say they're going to do and who don't communicate that they're not going to do it. I can't tell you how often, like at our house, we'll have a repairman that's supposed to be coming at a certain time to do something, and they don't show up, and they don't call. And here, you've stayed home.
I mean, right. You've rearranged your life.
And today, that just happens way, way, way too often. And everybody's excuse is always, "Oh, I'm sorry, I got busy." Well, then you shouldn't be taking more business than what you can handle and handle it with integrity.
Right.
And
integrity, that's the big word, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
Like you said, just communicate it. Just give us a call and let us know.
Give me a call. Let me know. You know, today I think greed really causes most people to take on more than what they can handle properly. And, you know, we love our doctors, but even, I mean, thankfully I'm not dealing with anybody like that now, but in the past there have been times when there was one doctor that I used to go to a long time ago, and it would be anywhere from Two hours, 45 minutes was like a small wait. You know, why not leave a few minutes in between appointments? So if you go over a little bit,
yeah,
You know, it's like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So
let me ask you then, you're sitting in that waiting room and you are so annoyed because you've been there over 2 hours.
Right.
And it is going to happen.
Right.
It is going to happen. So how do you handle that annoyance in a better way and get through it?
Well, I usually have to repent after I've not handled it good.
Yeah.
And really the answer, I think, comes down to I'm just going to have to get a different provider. You know, I'm not going
to make
just,
a choice at that
I'm
point.
Not going to keep dealing with this. And I've kind of come to that point with business people. It's like, if that's the way you do business, then I don't want to do that because I'm just inviting the devil to aggravate me all the time. Now, obviously, if somebody can't help it, you know, then we need to be gracious and we need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And we always need to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, walking in the fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean you let people take advantage of you mm-hmm. all the time. And, of course, I am a communicator. And so usually if we're strong in an area, it really frustrates us if somebody else is weak in that area. So I have to keep that in mind. I'm a bottom line person. So it's like if I ask you a question, please give me the answer the shortest way you can. You know, I only want to know the bottom line. Did you get it fixed? Not, you know, how you fixed it and, you know, where you had to go to fix it. And, you know, and so I have a tendency to get annoyed with people that are extremely detailed. And that's one that I have to work on and take responsibility for because they can't help being detailed any more than I can help. Like my husband is real detailed. And so if he'll start to tell me about a movie, oh, I watched this movie last night and I just feel like it takes forever for him to tell me what was the movie about.
And, you've seen the whole movie by the time the conversation is over.
So, you know, God puts us with people that are not like us for the purpose of giving us practice on this fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Another thing that annoys me are little nitpicky continuous noises. And so I was recently somewhere writing for a couple of weeks and a part went out in the refrigerator. They couldn't get the part for a while. And so about every 2 minutes, the refrigerator would go click, click, click. 2 more minutes, click, click, click. And I was... And it was not
just grace on you.
It wasn't that far away from where I was writing. And so I got to go, okay, Lord, somehow or another, you're going to have to help me just ignore this and not pay attention to it. So what about you? What annoys you?
So one of the things that I find really difficult, and it's similar to some of the things that you've been talking about, but I like to make excuses for this annoyance, but I'm such a justice person, right?
Yes.
I want people to do what's right,
right.
And to do what's fair. Mm-hmm. And so when I believe something isn't right and fair, then my instant reaction is to fight back. And I'm very annoyed at the circumstance.
Gonna make you do what's right.
Exactly. And so the bad thing of all of that is then I often respond in a way that is, you know, not helping the situation.
Right.
It's more of an argument than a de-escalation or whatever. So that's one of those things. Like, for instance, if something says that it should be on sale, it should be on sale.
And
if
I
go up, exactly, if I go up and it's not really on sale, the sign was in the wrong place or whatever, then I don't do well with that. Now, I have learned a lot, and I've come a long way over the years, because I do understand that people move signs and mistakes happen. So, like you said, I just have to pray and breathe first and take a beat.
Remember who we represent.
Take a
We're
moment.
Out representing Jesus.
Exactly, exactly. And that, I mean, this is something that my daughters will still talk about because I embarrassed them so many times when they were little. So I really am over that. I'm so much better with that. But there are still those things when something's not right, when someone doesn't treat someone else the way that they should, when someone doesn't follow certain things that should
I have
be
a daughter
done.
That's one of those justice people, and you know, she's like, she wants everything to be fair,
right?
And it's just not.
It just isn't.
I mean, it just isn't. That's
so you
just
have
all
to let that
to
go.
It. And God is a God of justice, and so He wants us to turn those things over to Him, and then He makes wrong things right.
Yeah.
Something that annoys me is mean people.
Oh yes, me too.
And it annoys me so bad that there are certain TV shows that I like the plot and I would enjoy the show. But if one of the characters plays like this mean, sarcastic person, I just can't watch the show. And I know that's because my dad was like that, and I just can't handle it. It's like, just don't be mean. The world is mean enough without people being mean.
I agree.
And so
now what you just said, though, we've talked a little bit before that recognizing where it stems from,
right.
Recognizing those triggers, that's probably really helpful in handling some of those situations to be able to say, no, I know why I'm reacting this way.
All bad fruit has a root.
Yeah.
And if you can find the root, it can help you deal with the problem. But some of these things that we're talking about, it's like, it's not right. It's not right for people to not show up for appointments. It's not right for them not to communicate. And so since we can't make them change, the only thing we can do is ask God to help us behave the right way. I'm sure
right.
Jesus ran into, he ran into injustice all the time.
All the time.
And
I'm sure those disciples were so annoying to him at times.
Well, yeah, you know.
But
I mean, he's
he
trying to
sinned.
Tell them he's getting ready to go to Jerusalem and all the suffering he's going to go through, and they're arguing about which one of them is the greatest.
Right.
And so, well, when you see, you know, the patience that he had with them. So we do have to understand. And then, you know, there's the factor, too, if you're a Christian and, you know, like you and I, we've been Christians for a long time. We've been in the Word for a long time. And so, you know, we may be able to handle ourselves differently than maybe somebody who's only been saved for a week. And so we have to have understanding of where people are coming from and, you know, where they're at. And so really,
a little mercy and grace.
And I guess the bottom line we have to admit is no matter what somebody does, it doesn't give us a right to do the wrong thing. Two wrongs never make a right.
Yeah.
So God always expects us to, what does he say, love your enemies, pray for those who mistreat you and treat you unjustly. And so, but we all do have things that annoy us. And so there you have it. You have my...
I appreciate it.
Open... conversation about what annoys me.
I love it. And I'll actually take all the help I can get because you're right. It can be as big as someone mistreating someone else or as small as a reoccurring noise
right.
that we cannot get away from. But how we react to it is up to us.
But I will say this. There's not nearly as many things that annoy me as there used to be. So,
so that's
thank
very
God.
Promising.
I'm not where I
yeah.
need to be, but I'm not where I used to be. I'm making progress.
Thank you, Joyce. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.